Thursday. We're almost there.
We're almost there, Wendy. We're one day away.
For some reason, the giant drums I was listening to in the beginning of the song made me think of George of the Jungle.
Yeah, they use giant drums. Are they kettle drums? Is that what we're looking at?
Maybe.
I think they were kettle drums.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, that's part of the, yeah, you're right. That's part of the George of the Jungle theme.
You know how they have the old, the game show network where they rerun? Is there, like, do they replay, like, old Penelope Pit Stop and George of the Jungle and Wacky Races?
Nickelodeon used to, but I don't know if they still do.
I think they should bring that back.
It's so good.
That's when the cartoon was a cartoon.
The animation isn't great. I mean, it's not now either. It was really at its peak. Animation was at its best in the 40s, and then it kind of slid downhill after that. But when you watch them now, you'll be amazed at how little the animation is. There's just, like, no animation.
You know,
the worst one, do you remember a show? This used to be on WGN-TV called Max the Mouse.
I remember Max the Mouse.
And there was no animation. Like, it would start out, it would show you Max the Mouse. The premise of Max the Mouse was he was a mouse that somehow was able to travel through time, which I think is kind of fakey, but I watched the show anyway. And they would show, at the beginning of a scene, they would show that Max was at the Declaration of Independence, and then the rest was just the camera panning left and right.
It was
the
terrible.
Different members of the, yeah, it was awful. It was so awful.
I don't know if we have some.
Sometimes it was on.
He's a 2,000-year-old mouse.
Max the Mouse was 2,000 years old. Looked great. I don't know what he was doing.
He's visiting with Daniel Boone.
Here's our frontier room.
Yeah, sometimes
the
he would do that.
The horns, the old rifles, the danger and adventure of the early American frontier.
Yeah, the camera is just panning. There's absolutely...
It was ridiculous.
He even move?
No, like, mouths weren't even moving. It was the opposite of Clutch Cargo, where only the mouths moved, remember? Like,
that was so terrible, and why did I even watch it? Why did any of us watch it?
With his friends, Spinner and Paddlefoot. Grown man hanging out with a boy and his dog. Everything seemed to be on the up and up. What's the problem there?
There were a lot of men hanging out with boys back in the
Clutch Cargo
when we
did
were
it.
Growing up.
Johnny Quest. Although Johnny Quest's dad, Dr. Benton Quest, was also there, so that was fine.
He was supervising.
Race Bannon, I think, had something on his mind that wasn't kosher.
I forgot Max the Mouse. That is the worst.
It was the worst. And I watched it every day. It was it on Ray Rayner or was it on Garfield Goose? I can't remember which one.
I don't know that, but it was syndicated in 1969.
The premise is good.
Yeah.
You give me a mouse that can travel through time, you have my attention, but you have to make it animated. If it's a cartoon, something has to move.
It looked like they just kind of zoomed in on picture books.
That's it. That was it. Because you always saw at the beginning of any scene, you saw the wide scope. Like in the episode where Max was with Daniel Boone, you probably saw Daniel Boone outdoors in front of a log cabin and the mouse was near him. And then it would just, the camera would go back and forth between the mouse and Daniel Boone, but nothing moved.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
What a horrible effort. Just animated a little bit. And then at the end, during the credits, you'd see the animation credits, and there were all kinds of guys' names. What did they do?
They took photos of textbooks.
That's all they did.
Pictures.
We've been ripped off.
But there was George of the Jungle, which I loved that.
That
Watch out
good.
For that tree. And what was some of the other ones that were around that?
There's so many.
I guess, but I'd
so
like
many.
To see those. Are they on DVD anymore?
You can get a lot
really?
Of them on DVD. I know you can get Wacky Races on DVD. Who was your favorite car on Wacky Races?
I liked Penelope Pitstop.
Yeah, she was pretty good. She had quite a style flair.
She did, and she wasn't going to take crap from any of the guys.
No. Mm-mm.
She was the early day Danica Patrick.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think whoever came up with the idea for Danica Patrick was obviously a fan of Penelope Pit Stops. There's no question about it. I did like, I'm not a dog lover, as you know, but I did like the way Muttley would laugh. Yeah, very sneaky.
Yeah, Dastardly.
Yeah, he was, very impressive. Very impressive.
Really, I can say something that is like some kind of genius thing, and you're not impressed or anything. But
this does it. What was the name of the...
Tom Slick?
Well, Tom Slick was... Yeah. But on Wacky Races, what was the name of the guys in the car where they were all gangsters, but they were all about 2 feet tall?
Oh, I can picture them. I don't know what their names were.
The Ant Hill Mob.
Oh, that was them?
Yeah, they were gangsters, but sadly, they were all about 2 feet tall.
Yeah, that's bad.
Which in the gangster game, it's a strike against you. Luckily, they had, you know, car skills. They could drive a car very well.
Weren't there hillbillies, too?
Yeah. What were their names? What were the hillbillies' names?
You don't know?
I do remember them. Oh, I can't remember their names. Man, I don't deserve this. I'm going to hang up my hat.
All right, how about all the 11 cars?
I can't remember all 11.
Dick Dastardly and Muttley and the Mean Machine.
I remember there were two cavemen that would always club each other over the head.
Those were the Slag Brothers and the Bouldermobile.
And the Bouldermobile. So if one of them, one Slag Brother would go, turn left, turn left, left, and the other one would turn right, he'd hit him over the head with his club.
You'd hear that sound effect, like of a coconut being hit.
Right.
Yes, you hear. I have all of them if you have some time.
All 11?
Dick Dastardly and Muttley in the Mean Machine.
Yeah, that was a great car.
Penelope Pitstop in the Compact Pussycat.
Yep. She was great.
She was pretty good.
Very talented.
The Slag Brothers, as you mentioned, in the Bouldermobile, rocking along in their big chunk of granite. Yeah. The Shaggy Slag Brothers would inspire Captain Caveman, who came along almost a decade later.
Yeah, they were kind of in the same style of Captain Caveman. His thing was he would just hit something. He had a giant club.
Captain Caveman!
Yeah, he would yell that. He would hit something with the club and yell that. I mean, why didn't we realize how stupid it was? It was so amusing, but it was so stupid at the same exact time.
There were a lot of stupidity going on. There was a lot of stupidity. Lazy Luke and Blubber Bear and the Arkansas Chug-a-Bug.
Oh, yeah.
Those are...
They were like Cajun bears, right?
Oh, yeah.
I do remember them.
Oh. Do you remember the professor?
Oh.
The contraption kind of looked like part airplane, part...
Right.
And he was Professor Pat Pending.
Oh, great name.
In the Converticar.
What a great name.
And it really is.
He didn't get the... Like, a lot of them didn't get the airtime the Penelope Pitstop and Dick Dastardly got. Those were your marquee players on Wacky Races.
The Gruesome Twosome.
The Gruesome Twosome, I remember. Very similar to the Gruesomes that were the next-door neighbors of the Flintstones for a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
remember
them? Yeah.
They were very similar.
Yeah. Groovy Ghoulie-like, too, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Sergeant Blast and Private Meekly in the Army Surplus Special.
Yeah, they just had a tank that...
Yeah.
They entered into the race. I remember that.
The Anthill Mob and the Bulletproof Bomb.
Yeah, they were great.
Thanks to these pint-sized mobsters, as Bill reminded us.
2 feet tall.
They were millions of kids indirectly became familiar with Edward G. Robinson, the clear inspiration for Clyde, the leader of the Anthill Mob.
Drive faster, see?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was great.
And they're saying Sergeant Blast and Private Meekly was a knockoff of Beetle Bailey or Gomer Pyle and Sergeant Carter.
That. Yeah, I can see that.
Then you had Rufus Roughcut and Sawtooth in the Buzz Wagon.
Right. One of them was like a beaver, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yes.
There's a grown man and a beaver. They were friends. Like, you, when you were a kid in the 60s, you just accepted that. There's a grown man, and he hangs out with a beaver, and they're in a race every week. All right. All right. What's wrong with that?
Why were the same people in the race every week?
Isn't that crazy?
I never just thought of it till now.
The same thing happened when Scooby-Doo spun off to the Scooby-Doo Laugh Olympics, is that they had three teams every week competing in Olympic events, which doesn't happen, but it was ridiculous.
Although, think of NASCAR. You got your same drivers pretty much all the time.
Yeah, I guess so.
You had the Red Max and the Cribs and Hay Baler. That was like,
sure I remember
that was like a red crop plane. Red Max seemed rather superfluous. Dick Dastardly was in many ways inspired by the villainous Barons of the Air.
Sure.
They never got as much screen time, though his hay baler did win a photo finish in the first Wacky Race.
Oh, really?
The very first one.
I don't remember like caring who won any of the race, because every week there was a winner. But you couldn't bet on it, so I didn't care.
You bet even back then?
I was betting on cartoons, yeah.
What'd you bet, your tiddlywinks?
Yes. Yes.
Finally, Peter Perfect in the Turbo Terrific.
Yeah, he was the handsomest of all the drivers.
The joke was, of course, that he was far from perfect, especially his car, which often ran into mechanical trouble or pretty much fell apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are all the 11 cars and people involved in the wacky races.
I know this will sound like I'm bragging, Wendy, because I am. But in Japan, several years ago, they put out smaller versions of those 11 cars. And I am the owner of 11 out of the 11. I have them.
All right. That's pretty impressive.
They're really cool. The detailing on them is spectacular. And they're very rare. But I have all 11 of them.
I have a U.S. mail lunchbox.
I know you do. You win. I give in.
Do you realize there were only 17 episodes?
Of Wacky Races?
Yeah. The original tune lasted a mere 17 episodes between 1968 and 1969. But the gloriously goofy Grand Prix ran for years in reruns. They were a staple of Saturday morning cartoons. And then they talked about the 11 contestants. This is from MeTV.com.
No, in my head, it went on for a couple of years. It was
the same ones. They just reran 17 episodes.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I will say this about Johnny Quest. I believe to this day that is the coolest TV theme song, animated bracket, separate bracket, of all time. It's so dynamic that whenever I hear it, I really should. If I knew how to make a ringtone out of a song, I would have
apps
be my,
for that.
Yeah, I probably do. And I have family members who usually do stuff like that for me. But that, it's just got so much, listen to this, it's got so much intrigue. Listen. That's fantastic. That sets you in the mind of, there's adventure coming my way.
It does scream that.
Yeah, doesn't it? And actually, the opening credits for this, for Johnny Quest, were great because it showed Johnny and Haji and Dr. Benton Quest, the race Bannon, fighting space aliens and monsters in the jungle. It really made you want to tune in. I love this.
This is pretty great.
Yeah. Why? They did a remake of this about 15 to 20 years ago on TV, and it was horrible. But why wasn't that ever a movie? Why wasn't Johnny Quest a movie?
I never really watched Johnny Quest, I gotta be honest with you.
You would have loved him. Little boy in a turtleneck solving international
crimes. I don't like turtlenecks.
What's wrong with that?
He had a turtleneck? I remember the dog. What was his dog?
Bandit. The dog's name was Bandit.
I guess I did watch
Bandit,
this
whenever there was trouble, Wendy, had a knack for covering his eyes with his paws because he didn't want to see what was about to happen. Oh, Bandit. They would always do that. And you know who did the voice of Johnny Quest?
I do not.
Tim Matheson from Animal House.
Otter.
Yeah. He did the voice. A young version of himself, of course.
Yeah.
But as a boy, he did Johnny Quest. He was the voice of Johnny Quest.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have liked to have been the voice of Johnny Quest?
I would do it today. If they called me today and said, we need Johnny Quest, I go, what time do you want me in? I would do that.
You should do it.
Yep. Johnny Quest's life is very similar to my own.
How do you figure? You go to a gas station and rip your $20 bill, and
yeah,
the guy won't take the money.
Yeah, did you ever see that episode of Johnny Quest? That happened on Johnny Quest. We just have the same level of adventure and intrigue at every corner, you know, where you never know as you're coming to an intersection what'll come the other way.
You did have an adventure this morning because you only had $3 to put in your gas tank, and I bet you're pretty close to E.
I should be all right. I should be okay. It's exactly from the parking lot here at WGN to my front door is exactly 15 miles. So
yeah, but
I should be all right.
But that varies. I know you get probably 20 to 28 gallons or miles to the gallon now.
Roughly. Yeah.
Maybe 20.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
But
I should be all right.
What if there's traffic?
Nah.
What if there's a road closure and you have to go
worried.
A different route?
I should be fine. I should be all right. You didn't offer to lend me any money for gas, though, I know.
Do you need money?
No, I wouldn't take your money.
I'll tape your 20. If you were listening earlier, Bill ripped his $20 bill.
Accidentally.
I can tape it.
No, that's going to be my arts and crafts project later. Because the next person I give it to, I don't want them to even know it's been ripped. I mean, this guy, the guy at the gas station saw it because when I pull it out of my pocket,
it was in two
halves. So he quickly did the math and went, that's not enough.
Well, if you use the magic scotch tape, which is not the shiny one, you won't be able to see it.
Oh, the one with the duller finish?
Yes, it's matte.
Yeah. We have, this time of year, there is Scotch tape in every possible place in our house. There's not a single, if you open the refrigerator, there's Scotch tape there where the juice usually is. If you go through any room in the house, there's a couple of rolls of Scotch tape somewhere.
You need it to wrap presents.
I'm hoping that's what we're using it for. I can't imagine what else we'd
be using. And to fix your money.
And to fix my money. That's it. That's why we have it. All right. In a little while, Kim Gordon will join us. She will give you the news, and then there's more discussion. Stick around. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Bill's busy taking his money over
here. We're talking about China Grove.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the bonus hour.
Are you really taping your money?
Yeah.
You got to do a better job.
I did it once, and I wasn't happy with it. So I'm
redoing. Why don't you explain why you weren't happy with
it? Well, you and Kim say that both sides have to be the same side of the bill when you tape it together, but I like to be a little more eclectic.
That's like, is that like a left brain right thing?
I think it is.
Or a men are from Mars, women are from Venus? What is that?
I think it is. why Andrew Jackson on the 20?
He said before he died, I really want to be on the 20.
He wants to be on the 20. Yeah, that was his last request.
That was his bequest.
There are so many better options than Andrew Jackson to be on the 20. I don't understand why they gave it to him.
Why do they all look mean?
Boy, you're right.
That's how they all looked back then.
Yeah,
look back in textbooks.
I know they did.
You know, they had nothing to smile about.
And their teeth were wooden, so you probably didn't want to see them anyway.
But the guys of that era, I think normally, I don't even think just when they were posing for portraits, I think they walked around with a sullen look on their faces all the time. That was like the default factor look for guys back then. But you're right. They always do.
They all look mean.
And I always notice that pictures that have angels in it in heaven, their hands are always doing like a weird, unnatural, like, oh, look, I'm an
flying
angel. Yeah. Like that.
Your hands angels would do that too if you were an angel.
Mm-mm, not me.
Well, is he an angel? That's what we have.
Yes, I am.
You know.
Yes, I am.
Now, Harriet Tubman, I thought, was supposed to be on the 20.
She should be on the 20.
No, I think, didn't they decide that?
But I kind of guess.
Maybe
it wasn't till a certain time. Like, maybe bills had to go out of circulation or something. I feel like it was, you
they
voted
said about
for
a
it
year
or
ago or 2 years
then maybe
ago.
Maybe it wasn't coming till 2020 or something. I don't know. I don't remember.
This is dated 2016, and it says Harriet Tubman will appear on the front of the $20 bill instead of Andrew Jackson.
When?
Oh, I don't know.
It should already have happened.
Yeah.
I've never seen her on any 20. Mm-mm.
And Alexander Hamilton will remain on the face of the $10 bill. The changes were announced by Treasury Secretary Jack Lew as part of a historic overhaul of U.S. currency.
Yeah.
But it never happened. Have you seen a Tubman 20?
No.
Wow.
Uh-uh.
It sounds like a
Tubman 20 wouldn't rip.
No, a Tubman 20, that's solid. That's a solid $20 bill right there. Andrew Jackson's 20s are faulty. They come apart by looking at them.
Has anyone seen a Tubman 20?
No.
No. I don't think they've been minted, Wendy, to be honest with you.
Well, what
are we waiting for?
Does it say in the article?
It's time to have a Tubman 20.
Usually they tell you that kind of stuff all the way at the bottom.
No, this was dated in 2016. I looked through it real quickly. No. Someone else texting, I thought Andrew Jackson is being replaced by Harriet Tubman. Somebody else said there's a Johnny Quest movie in the works. Did you know that?
No.
You should audition for it.
I would love to be in that.
It'll be you or Greg Kinnear.
All right. That's fair.
All right. Well, what happened to Harriet Tubman?
I don't know.
Well, maybe
she deserves it.
This is a travesty.
But even though, if Harriet comes into circulation,
yes.
Does the existing Andrew bills remain in circulation? I think so.
I think if they're still in good shape, not
right.
the ones that,
that
one I
have. That one probably is going out.
In my pocket, that one would be gone. But the rest of them, in my opinion, George Washington, very deserving of the one.
Yeah. Abe Lincoln,
for
sure.
Lincoln should be on the 5. The 10 is Ed Sheeran, right? I like that. But the 20 should be Tubman, and it should be Tubman today. Don't make us wait.
This is from the New York Times, and it's dated June 5th of this year. President Trump has tried to undo as many Obama-era policies as possible.
Is he blocking the Tubman 20?
His administration has remained curiously circumspect when it comes to one of his predecessor's initiatives, putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. In a letter to Congress that was released on Tuesday around June 5th, 2018, the Treasury Department praised Tubman, a former slave and an abolitionist who is a civil rights hero but made no commitment as to whether she would one day be the new face of the 20.
Well, there's our answer.
That's ridiculous.
In 2016, former Secretary Jacob J. Liu announced that the... announced that the currency was being redrawn, adding Tubman to the front and moving President Andrew Jackson to the back.
Oh.
So he still will grace it, but on the back. The new designs were expected to be unveiled in 2020. So I guess we still have time.
See, I don't know why 2020 stuck in my head.
You did say that.
2020 for the 20. There you go.
That's why.
That's what it is.
The Tubman 20 sounds like the weight that you gain when you start college, doesn't it? Did you say Billy put on the Tubman 20? He's let himself go.
For some reason, that makes me think of a football player.
Right.
I don't know why.
I don't know why it does. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. It's unclear when the redesign would be made public or be ready for circulation. But according to the Treasury's Assistant Secretary for Legislative Affairs, they're saying it would be likely more than 10 years before the new $20 note is released.
Why would it take 10? That's ridiculous.
By the time they release it, you won't even use money anymore.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
I mean, honestly.
Right. There'll be a chip in your eye that you can wink at people and they'll know your money's changed hands.
What if you winked
twice? Two blinks and you spent $20.
You laugh, but I bet something like that's going to happen.
That's definitely going to happen. Well, I don't want to have to wait that long. Come on, Treasury Department.
Terry will just have to reload your eye every day.
I know. In a Visine drop. How much do you need today? 20. She'll just pop it in my eye. It'll be fine.
The decision by Mr. Liu.
Hi, Liu.
Harriet Tubman to the $20 bill came after months of public debate about putting a prominent woman on a commonly used note.
Ugh.
Groups such as Women on the 20s.
That's the holdup, was that people didn't think women should be on money?
Well, there was no woman. That's why.
Well, Susan B. Anthony is on that.
Yes,
dollar.
That's Sacagawea.
That people treat like a Canadian coin when they get.
They look at it like, what do I do with this?
I'll tell you, I don't know about your tooth fairy.
Yeah.
I don't know how many tooth fairies out there.
Yeah.
But our tooth fairy was very into the gold Sacagawea dollar.
Oh.
When I was very unique.
When I was little and the tooth fairy visited me, I got the silver dollar.
Oh,
that's pretty nice too.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Friends of mine's tooth fairy gives gift cards, and I said that's wrong. You don't do gift. The tooth fairy doesn't have gift cards.
She doesn't have access to a.
I don't think so
either.
A
kiosk with all the different gift cards
at CVS.
Have you seen her in Walgreens? I haven't.
No. She's
maybe we've seen her and we don't know we've seen her.
Could be.
It's possible.
You can hide your wings, you know. I do. And my halo.
It just seems wrong. The tooth fairy gives money, not gifts.
I mean, does Santa bring gift cards?
Well, see, now I want to think about that for just a moment, if I may. And I don't think we have many kids listening to us, but when Santa brings toys that are popular... How does he have the elves make those toys?
So the elves still make the toys, but they put them in boxes that say Hasbro and stuff.
Is that what they do? Is that how they get around it? Because that was always my question.
I think Hasbro may make the boxes, and they send them to the North Pole for the elves.
Okay.
So they don't have to worry about the packaging.
Because how come I never question that?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, Santa doesn't want to have his own label.
Right.
So he just...
Right. That's true. Kim, I think you're right.
Is there a Hanukkah person who delivers gifts? There's not like a Santa Claus?
I mean,
or
they have like
Hanukkah Harry. Is that really a something?
A Saturday
Saturday Night Live skit. That's how it started.
It's really
funny. But no, it's just parents giving you gifts.
There are gifts. There are Hanukkah gifts,
right,
but they're not as involved.
Right.
Right?
Well, what do you mean?
They're considerably smaller and less expensive.
Not in our family.
No?
I think Hanukkah has changed.
We do a big Hanukkah thing. I mean, because it's 8 nights, you don't get something big every night.
Right.
But, you know, when I was growing up, we got like 2 or 3 big gifts.
Did you really for Hanukkah? Yeah.
Yeah, and then
what did you get?
Things?
Like an orange?
I got... Well, there's a rule that
Hanukkah gelt. That's how it started. Like, you got
the money version of
gelt
Hanukkah
is like
gift.
A Yiddish term for money.
And yeah.
Like way back in the day.
Yeah. Two words you got to remember in the Jewish language, Wendy: gelt and gilt. If you got
those
two words, you're good.
Very similar.
Very similar.
I got the Catholic gilt, so that's
right.
You get that. It's
all
the same.
Similar.
I got no gelt.
The rule that I liked was that the oldest gets more than the younger.
Of course you like that.
I thought that was a great rule. Did you guys have that rule?
No.
Oh, that was a rule.
That would not have flown in my face.
That was a good
rule. Made that up.
No, that was it was told to me.
So did you get to celebrate both holidays growing
up?
Yeah,
we had both Christmas
had,
and Hanukkah. Yeah.
Christmacapalooza.
Yes. Lots of gifts.
And I would Lots of gifts.
And I was fine with that. That was okay.
You don't like any of the Jewish food, though, do you? Because I love matzo ball soup.
Do you like latkes?
No.
Are those potato pancake type things? Those are awesome.
No. I'm making them Sunday night.
I do like you put a matzo cracker in the microwave with butter on it. I do enjoy that. That's hard to say no to.
Matzo cracker? Why would you put it in the microwave?
So to heat up the butter so that the butter is
Why don't you melt the butter, like just soften the butter and
I don't know. It comes out.
Doesn't it catch on fire?
Yeah, it does. We've been through over 500 microwaves in my lifetime. It will start on fire.
So you buy a box of matzo and a microwave.
I get the Manischewitz and a microwave. There's a package deal. I get them together.
It's the Passover special.
I get the Manischewitz horseradish for my pastrami.
Oh, you do?
So good.
Yeah, that's
You like the beet horseradish, the purple?
No, I like the white. Although I'd probably like them both. I love Jewish food, and there used to be a delicatessen in Lyons, Illinois called Stein's Deli.
Oh, yeah, they're famous.
Well, they haven't been there forever, and I don't know in the suburbs where to get a good half and half.
Oh,
like
well, speaking
pastrami.
Of delis, oh, the bagel is closing in Old Orchard.
I know.
I'm so sad about that.
It's been
that.
There forever.
Tell me about the bagel, because I've
seen
people...
The bagel's fantastic. I love the bagel. They have the best vegetable soup in the world there. It's so good.
But and good sweets.
Are the bagel people in the Sabatinos hooking up and going on vacation?
Well, the bagel's staying open. I think there's one on Broadway downtown. That's
the original one.
The original one's still going to be open.
Yeah.
It's just
my grandmother used to work
at
that one.
Really?
She was a waitress there. Yeah.
Someone's saying Geld is German for money.
Geld, yeah.
German.
Yeah. German. Oh, it's not Yiddish. German. Well, it's about the...
I think they changed Geld, G-E-L-D,
because
this is G-E-L-T.
Oh.
But I think it's a derivative of that.
Oh, sure. Well, that Yiddish is a derivative
of German.
Well, guys, gold.
Gold.
Right.
Is
yeah.
what we
right.
have.
Yes.
Exactly.
We don't. You don't.
I don't.
Tony has all the gold in this room.
I just have the sack of Jawias.
Back to the sandwich. There's some good delis.
In the suburbs?
Oh, yeah. Northbrook. There's.
That's not near
Max
me.
Max and Benny's.
You have to check.
I know Max and Benny's. Yeah.
Or Max's.
Yeah.
And, you know, but they're all like North Shore.
Yeah, I need the near LaGrange.
The best name, it's no longer there, but Barnum and Bagel.
Oh, I love Barnum and Bagel.
That was a good time.
That was the best.
But they're gone as of 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
It's now Pita Inn.
Yeah, it's Pita Inn now.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is also really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you should go to Manny's if you're down here.
I like Manny's a lot. We've gone there. And I like, it's on Franklin. I can't think of the name of it, and I love it because if your cell phone goes off when you're in there, they won't serve you.
They spray club soda on you.
No, they won't serve you. They'll kick you out.
A deli? Lou Mitchell's?
Perry's?
Oh, no.
Perry's Deli. I think it's Perry's.
Oh, I've never heard of that one.
That's a great rule.
I knew you'd like that.
I wish all restaurants had that rule. I'd be fine with that. Well, I told you there's restaurants that give discounts. I'm trying to remember the name of the restaurant I just read gives a discount if nobody at the table has their cell phone out.
Really?
Yeah.
That was Starved Rock or where we
was
were.
That where there was?
White Pines. We were giving away gift cards
White
to
Pines
that.
Rule?
Yeah.
What a great rule. Nobody at the table.
There's like
can
an
have the
extra 10% off or something if you don't use your phone.
That's fantastic.
Phones off between 5 and 9 or something.
Whatever their dinner time hours
or what's
are.
The, have you done that game, or it's not really a game, but you stack your cell phone in the middle of the table, and the first person who picks up their phone during the meal has to pay the bill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right, too.
Yeah.
I like that. Mine goes completely off when I'm in a restaurant.
Really?
Yeah. I don't
use
mine at all.
We've gotten bad about that, I have to say.
Not even a little bit. I can't do it. Here's an interesting story. Wendy, you know who Anna Kendrick is?
Yes. I don't know what I know her from.
She's been in maybe 15 or 20 movies over the last couple of years. Probably, my guess is what she's known best for are the Pitch Perfect movies.
Oh, okay.
Right? There's been three of those, I think, right?
Yeah.
So she says, now, the first time most of us got to know Anna Kendrick was in the Twilight movies. You know, the movies about
right.
the teenage vampires.
Yeah.
So somebody just asked her about those movies, about what it was like to work in those movies. And she claims she forgot that she was in those movies. Is it possible that you can be?
I forgot
film?
I worked with you. I'm not even kidding. I mean, I know I worked with you, but you bring up people that we interviewed, and I'm like, wait a minute, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I have no recollection of some great guests we had.
But you remember the job of being
well,
on
yeah,
the radio.
That I do.
So for her, I mean, being in a movie is a pretty big deal. You know, if you're an actor or an actress, you strive when you're growing up and wanting to be an actor or actress to be in movies. So she's been in, I think, all, was she, how many Twilight movies are there?
There's Twilight. Maybe if you can forget one, if you were in one movie that, and it wasn't a big hit or something and it was a sleeper, that Twilight was huge.
She says she forgot she was even in them. That can't be right.
No.
There's no way. Kendrick tweeted last week that she just remembered, that's in quotes, her role in the Supernatural films in which she starred alongside Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart. It's not clear what sparked her minor epiphany, but her post went viral. As of early Tuesday, it had 780,000 likes. So what are you liking there? Are you liking the fact that she was in the movie or that she remembered being in the movie?
Depends. I don't know.
It also prompted an outpouring of love for Kendrick's character in the films. I don't think she was a vampire. I only saw the first one.
I never saw any of them.
I didn't either. Oh, not one.
The first one was so laughably bad.
Really?
So laughably bad. I saw it. My daughters wanted to see it. So I took them to see it.
My nieces read the books, but...
If you read the book, it was a natural for you, right? You got to see the movie. So at some point, the movie was so bad that a dad who was sitting with his daughter, like a row away, looked at me and put his arms up like, what are we doing? I don't know what we're doing. It's for my kids.
Making our daughters happy.
I guess. It was the scene. I still remember what the scene. It was when the vampires all decided in the winter to go outside and play baseball.
Well, that makes perfect
sense. If you were a teenage vampire, would that be your thing to do? Would be to go out and play baseball in the winter? Doesn't make sense.
Bite somebody's neck around the bases? I don't know.
Well, one of my daughters explained it to me. She goes, Dad, bats.
Oh, yeah.
Vampire bats.
It.
Now it makes sense. Yeah. All right. So I'm calling Anna Kendrick out publicly. I think if you're in a movie, you probably have some semblance of memory that you were in a movie. Unless she was in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of movies, then you go, was I in that? Oh, maybe I was. But if you're only in 15 or 20, I would think each memory would hold its own place, I would imagine. All right. Dictionary.com has chosen their word of the year. First, I'll tell you what the runner-ups were. These were the ones that were not chosen by Dictionary.com as the word of the year. Representation. It doesn't say why. Just that could have been the word of the year. Self-made. And backlash. Backlash, I could kind of see, of those three being the closest.
Yeah.
Their choice for word of the year, which was just revealed.
Wait, what's the criteria for word of the year? Like a new, that describes the year or a new word?
The word that has the most impact.
Okay.
The word that that is reflective of whatever happened in 2018.
I think noise should be this year's word. That's what everybody uses, noise.
It's not the most used word.
Yeah, because I never hear these. These are bad examples.
I think their choices are not good. No, I'm not sure your example's much better. I mean, I have heard that word, actually, more than representation, self-made, and backlash put together.
Yes.
I've heard that.
I hate that. But
the word that they chose as the 2018 word of the year, and I believe prematurely because we still have 4 weeks in the year, and what if some word just explodes in the next couple of days?
Right.
Boy, will they have egg on their face. Their choice for word of the year is misinformation, but I can't imagine why.
Well, but that's like fake news, and that's already been done.
And I called myself misinformation for many years.
Yes, you did.
I
Wendy,
mean, that's...
you get a credit, by the way, on dictionary.com.
Okay, but that, I don't know.
You're not pleased with it?
Well, all right, it's dictionary.com.
Right.
I
mean, how much
which I go to a lot.
Yeah, I do too. But that's
could have had a better one.
That's probably a good one.
What would you have chosen?
For this year, for
2018. You say noise, but I know you're kidding.
I was kidding, yeah.
Right.
I hate when people say that. I would have said hugely.
Hugely.
Bigly.
Kim?
I mean, if I was describing the year, I would just say turmoil.
Oh. Interesting.
That's a good one.
Interesting.
The password.
It would have
is
to
turmoil.
Be the password is turmoil. It would have to be something reflective of, and I think that's what they were shooting for with misinformation.
And that's accurate. That's pretty good,
right? It's something that is definitely
Russia should be the word of the
Russia.
Year.
The failure of Facebook and other social media and tech companies to curb the online spread of fake information inspired Dictionary.com's Word of the Year for 2018. The dictionary site revealed misinformation as the term that it believed aptly summarized the year 2018.
That's accurate.
I think so, too, but on both ends of the spectrum, because the president claims that there's misinformation coming from the press, but it's cyclical.
But in a way, I feel like misinformation is almost like too soft of a word, because misinformation almost sounds like something you didn't do on purpose.
Right.
And he makes it seem like every piece of misinformation, in quotes, out there has been done maliciously.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's, I don't know, misinformation just seems
a little too soft. Yeah.
And for his supporters, I don't think that's accurate, because there are a lot of people who support Donald Trump, so they don't feel, although they're getting in their minds misinformation
from the other side. Right.
That's true.
So maybe it's not that bad of a choice. It says the recent explosion of misinformation and the growing vocabulary that we use to understand it have come up again and again in our work with lexicographers. This, according to Dictionary's linguist in residence, Jane Solomon. That's a job I used to have, Kim, by the way.
No.
I was there.
You're
lexicographer. The word misinformation is particularly interesting as its meaning is widely conflated with disinformation. The intent behind the two words is important to note. With misinformation, the intent is generally not to mislead. With disinformation, the intent is always to mislead. So that being said, why isn't disinformation the word of the year and not misinformation? Because some of the, they're saying all of it is intentional to mislead. I'd argue that most of it is, not all of it.
You know what last year's word of the year was?
Peach.
No.
It's not peach?
I don't recall discussing this last year. Youthquake.
Youthquake?
The noun youthquake is defined as a significant cultural, political, or social change arising from the actions or influence of young people. I almost feel this is the year of that.
Yes, because if you look at the Parkland shooting, those students and what they did to get about gun control.
That's what I mean.
And millennials coming out to vote.
What was last year? I guess we need a Bernie Sanders lovers, but
maybe,
that would have been 2 years ago.
It's even more pronounced now.
Right.
I think youthquake should be this year. I love that term.
When you just said it, though, that's the first time I ever heard that
word.
Me
too.
Is it youthquake two words or one word?
One word, right?
One word.
So in place of earthquake, it's a youthquake.
Yeah.
But see, that's what I thought like the word of the year was like a new term or a word that was used
that's
in a different way or something like that.
If I was running
dictionary.com. They're always adding words to the dictionary,
right.
So that's kind of what I thought it was, a term that was added to the
list. Is find the word that is most representative of the zeitgeist of what's going on around us. You know,
well, there's the word right
zeitgeist.
There, zeitgeist.
Or poltergeist. It's just spookier. The dictionary noted that the role that tech platforms, in particular Facebook, have played this year have been helpful in the spreading of the misinformation. And it just goes on to describe.
I think divisive should have been this year's.
That's a good one, too.
Or cluster fun. I made you very nervous.
I was going to press a button.
I tensed up for a second.
I don't know what button I was going to press. I was just going to press
any
random.
I thought that was allowed on the stream. That's why I thought you were going to drop it.
No, wow. I don't drop that.
Wow.
I'm an old broadcaster.
The word I was thinking you were going to say should be the word of the year. Don't you think? With all that's gone on this year, 2018.
Well, you could just do cluster dash.
Yeah, and it's up to you.
Cluster blank, fill it in like match game.
Right.
General cluster.
Yes. Clusters last blank.
I like it.
Why aren't we on the board of directors at dictionary.com?
I don't have any idea.
All of these ideas are solid. They seem to be solid anyway. Kim, thanks very much for hanging out. Greatly appreciated. We'll close things off in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Well, Wendy, that's it.
Time for our cluster fun to end.
Oh, every time.
I like to make you nervous.
Every time, as you start the word, I go, here it comes, the beginning of the end. I head for the bomb shelter as soon as you get to the cluh part.
Yeah, no.
I just dive right in. Tomorrow, the greatest day ever invented. That's your Friday,
yep.
The day we look forward to all week long. The last day of the work week. It's tomorrow.
And so Jerry Nunn, Nunn on the Run will be happening on this very stream.
That's going to be nice.
And then on the WGN part of the radio show, Mark Normand.
Oh, he's funny.
He's a funny comic that we had at Tree Time 2 years ago.
Right. Very funny.
And we'll talk television with Alexander Zalbin. All the finales. Mid-season finales of all the shows I watch.
It's happening right now.
What will I watch?
Our mid-season finale takes place December 14th or 15th, whatever that Friday is.
14th.
14th? Yeah.
That's the big radio.
That's the Christmas play.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
Is it going to be Oliver this year?
Never know.
Last year we did Guys and Dolls. Boy, was that fun.
I played one of the guys, though. Why do I have to remind people there I'm not a guy?
We had more guys than girls in the play. But boy, Pete McMurray is Nathan Detroit. I'll never forget that.
A.K.A. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. Come back tomorrow for more. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.